This is All Things Git, the podcast about Git. I'm Edward Thompson.
And I'm Martin Woodward.
And we're picking back up where we left off in the last episode. This is part two of a sort of a deep dive into branching and merging. We're explaining how branches actually work in Git and how Git merges those branches. And we left off in the last episode with a bit of a teaser, I guess. We started talking about this notion of a fast forward merge before we ran out of time. In particular, Martin, I think you were about to ask, I guess, how fast forward merging works.
Yeah, so if you've got some changes in one branch, and with Git, which again is a peculiar, you know, one of the peculiar things about Git, but one of the things that makes it simple. I've made some changes in my feature branch, and there's been no changes that have happened in master at all. It's stayed as it was. And then I pull those changes from my feature branch over into master. Then what happens with Git by default?
Right. So by default, that's called a fast forward merge. And what that means is that you are your own common ancestor. I hate to describe it that way, but that's technically what's going on, right?
Okay.
So if you look at the three-way merge and there's no changes on one side, you can just, not even think about it as a true merge. You don't have to do anything, right? If there's no changes, there's nothing to do. So what Git actually does is it advances that pointer. So if you, in that case, you're merging feature into master, what Git will do is it will just change the master branch pointer and set it to your new commit. So now both feature and master are pointing to the exact same commit. And so you'll see that if you run git log dash dash graph or in a graphical GUI tool, right? You'll see your little commit, and then you'll see a little tag that says feature and another little tag right next to it that says master, because they're really just both pointing to that commit.
Got it. And that's why, and so if changes had happened in master, then by default, that's where you see a merge commit get generated, where you are bringing the set of commits from feature that are different from a common ancestor, and then you create a new merge commit, which is where the paths of master and the paths of the feature branch are joining together. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Got it. So what's just quickly while we're there, then, we're talking about these pointers and things. Like, when you make a change on a branch, is all that's happening, is it literally just creating a new commit and then updating the pointer to point to that new commit that's on top of that branch? Is that all it's doing? Or
that's exactly right. So if I'm working in my feature branch,
yeah,
and I make some change, let's say I edit foo and I edit bar, and I stage those changes, which is I update the index or the quote unquote staging area. What actually happens when I run git commit, first of all, the index is turned into that commit, into a commit. There's a special type of object in Git's object database called a commit.
Mm-hmm.
So the index is turned into that commit. You'll often hear that that Git stages those changes for you. So what the index literally is the thing that's about to be committed.
Yeah.
So I run git commit, the index turns into that commit object. The object ID is calculated, right? It takes the SHA-1 of that data,
mm-hmm.
And that becomes the commit ID. And then, so that's 40 characters. Those 40 characters are written to disk on that file that reflects the pointer. So if you look in the Git directory, there's a file called refs heads feature, and that's your feature.
And by git directory, you mean actually inside the .git folder that most normal people never touch, but you live in.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. That's right. And you shouldn't go touch it, right? You probably shouldn't do that. But yeah, so what Git's actually doing under the hood is just writing that SHA-1, that ID, those 40 characters, to that file. And that's incredibly efficient and a very clever way to do branching.
So what's the difference between a branch and a tag then in Git? Because tags are kind of similar,
right?
Behaving, but they're a bit different.
Yeah, they're incredibly similar. A tag points to a commit as well. It's also a quote unquote ref. So you'll see ref.
Huh.
If you crack open your .git folder, you'll see ref's heads and ref's tags.
Right.
But the difference is that you can't be on a tag. You are on a branch, right? You check out a branch, you're on the master branch or the feature branch. And when you make a commit, that pointer gets updated. You can't be on a tag. A tag is immutable once it's created. You can't, you could delete it and recreate it, but you can't, you won't be on a tag and run git commit and have that tag automatically point to that new commit.
So when you do a git checkout of a tag, you're actually in a different, go on, explain to me what happens. Cause I've got into a mess when I've done that before now.
Yeah, you will. So you're actually in what's called a detached head state.
Hello. So, see, these words I've heard and they've never made any sense before. This is awesome. Like, so, fast forward merge sounds really amazing and like complicated, but actually when you look at it, it's super simple. So go on, tell me right. What's detached head actually mean. This, yeah, I've definitely been in this mode because it's warned me about it and then I've not known what to do.
Right. So you have these branches. You have a master branch or a feature branch that points to a commit. The way that Git knows what branch you're on is that it records that in a, I guess the best way to think about it is like a meta branch. Okay. And that's called head. So head doesn't point to a commit, it points to a branch. So this is head in all caps. You've probably seen that
so
terminology.
So head is like a special branch name, is it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So head points to master when you're on the master branch. And the way Git knows what commit you're on is by dereferencing that chain, right? It's just pointers. It's like C, right? So to know what branch you're on, it looks at head. Head says, oh, I'm on the master branch. So it goes and then opens the master branch and sees what commit that is. This is actually called a symbolic reference. It doesn't really matter what it's called. The thing is that sometimes if you run git checkout, let's say you run git checkout master, that'll update you to be on the master branch. If you run git checkout and a commit ID, now you're not on the master branch. You've now made head point to an actual commit. So you're in a quote unquote detached head state. That means head isn't pointing at another branch. You're not on a branch. Head is pointing directly at a commit. And you can work in this mode. Mm-hmm. Like if you could edit some files and run git commit, and head will continue to point to that new commit, but no other branches will. So it's very easy to lose your data in this sort of a scenario. And that's true when you run git checkout on a tag too, since you can't quote unquote be on a tag, you know, head will never point to a tag. So what happens is that Git will just put you in a detached head state and check out that commit that the tag is pointing to.
And I think this is a common mistake people run into when they're getting started with Git, because if they want to roll back or if they want to see what's on a different tag, then they'll quite often check out that tag so they can go look at it, you know, and then they want to make some changes and then like they want to get their master back to kind of, oh, I want to take what it was when we did the release plus make some changes to it and then that be what's on master now. So if you're in a detached head state, like right. Is there an easy way to get where I am now and either like merge where I am with what the master branch was or make my current branch be now the master branch, or like what do you do, or do you just not do it that way? Is that the trick?
I usually don't do it that way. Reset to go to to set my branch, my current branch, to a particular ID or tag or whatever. However,
so when you do like a git reset -1 sort of thing, that's just literally moving one step back in history and making and moving that pointer back. So now master points to.
That's exactly right.
So the thing that was the commit that was ahead of where you were, that's still there in the Git repository. It's just, is it just now detached? Is it just somewhere else?
There's nothing pointing to it. I mean, there might be another branch pointing to it, but your branch is no longer pointing to it. And if there are no other branches pointing to it, then it's garbage, actually. Huh. Eventually it'll get garbage collected.
Really?
Yep. It'll take a while.
So all these like leaf nodes that exist, if a leaf node existed in history, then it will eventually sort of drop out of your Git repository.
That's right. That's right. So there is one thing you can do, you know, to capture that information, and that's called the ref log. So Git records all of its operations. So if you commit something and then you reset so that nothing is now pointing to that commit, mm-hmm. It will still be in the ref log. You can run Git ref log and see its ID and check it out again. But yeah, eventually Git will garbage collect that. Mm.
And is that an actual Git command, or is that what happens when you push it to the remote server? Does it automatically garbage collect things for you, or what happens?
So it won't actually get pushed if it's not reachable. Git will only push sort of the mm-hmm. branches that you tell it to. And if there's no branch pointing to a commit, it'll only ever exist on your local machine.
Yeah.
But there is a command. You can run git gc to force a garbage collection, and it runs periodically, like automatically, to just kind of clean up your Git repository. So it used to be that you'd, well, I don't know. We turned it off in our repository because GC takes a while for the VSTS repo, because it's, you know, pretty sizable. Mm-hmm. But by default, Git will automatically garbage collect. And that's fine for most repositories. For something big like VSTS, all of a sudden you've got this huge synchronous wait when you were trying to run Git mm-hmm. commit.
And it's an unpredictable one as well, because it happens when it decided to rather than when you wanted it to.
That's exactly right.
Huh. Fascinating. Yeah, cool. This is probably a bit of a tangent from where we're going. But this is awesome. So based on these sort of fundamentals of doing like a three-way, we did a three-way merge. Is that the only type of merge there really is, or are there other types of merge?
No, that's it.
Or do I not want to go there?
that's all there is. There is a three-way merge. You know, we talked about baseless merge, and that concept exists in Git too, where two commits have no common ancestor at all. And then you just kind of, you fake it. You pretend that there are no files. You have an empty tree, if you will. Mm-hmm. But that's fundamentally it. And there's something interesting about Git's branching model, because it's really easy to sort of visualize mm-hmm. the way a merge works, right? You can look at the graph and look at two commits and just trace down, you know, you can just follow it, you know, visually and find the common ancestor yourself. So that's very clever.
So if, when you're doing a merge, does it just merge the files that occupy the contents of the file that occupy the same name in those two trees? Is that like, so it's, if you took a file, if you had a file called foo and you renamed it bar over in your branch and then created a new file called foo in your branch, is it always just merging foo with foo when it comes back to bring it back into master?
Wow, that's an excellent and incredibly complicated question, actually.
Oh, sorry, man.
No.
If those file contents, like, yeah, does it matter what the file's contents are?
That's exactly right.
Let's dig into it. Mm-hmm.
So Git stores a snapshot of your tree. That's what a commit looks like. It is the snapshot.
And so you can think of a tree as basically all the file names and folder names. Is that how I think of a tree?
That's right. That's right. So you'll have, you know, a Git commit is, you know, foo.txt is at this SHA-1 version. Bar.txt is at this SHA-1 version. And that's what a commit actually looks like. If you look at it, there's some extra metadata on top, like the date and who committed it and that sort of thing. So with those snapshots, with Git storing the entire tree at every point, there's no operations about what happened, right? So TFVC, if you look at it, actually stores the operations that occurred on a file, like, you know, between mm-hmm. change set one and change set two, foo.txt was renamed to bar.txt. Git does not store any information about how this tree changed. It just has the snapshot. If you want to understand how the tree changed, you run git diff. And so if you run like git show or git diff between two commits or anything like that, what it actually is doing is computing the differences between those two trees. And that's pretty straightforward, except that what that really means is that there's no rename operation in Git.
Yeah.
However, if you've ever run git diff or git log or anything like that, you'll often see like file foo was renamed to file bar. And what it's actually doing is a similarity metric. So if there's a file that exists in one commit, like a path, like foo exists in one commit and doesn't exist in the other, and there are, it will pair them up with other files that exist in one commit in but not the other. So it'll do similarity detection. It will actually compare the lines in the file to see how similar these two files are between the two commits to determine if a rename occurred. So if some new file is like 60% similar to a file that got deleted in the previous commit, that's a rename. So Git does this heuristic to determine when renames occur. And it does this with merge as well, which is the complicated part.
Right. So if I had foo in one folder in one branch and bar in the other, but not foo in the other, then it's clever enough to figure out that this must have been a rename and like do mergey magic.
That's right. By default, it does this. You can of course turn this off. There's a limit on the number of files that it'll look at because this heuristic is not, you know, trivial as far as cost goes. So if you edit foo in one branch and rename foo to bar in the other branch and just do a strict rename so that the file is 100% similar to the common ancestor, or maybe even only change it a little so that it's similar enough, right? It's more than like 60 to 70% similar. Yeah. Then foo, the contents will actually get auto-merged with foo in the changed branch and the bar in the other branch, in the renamed branch, and the result will be a file named bar. So it takes the rename and the contents.
That's pretty smart.
Git actually takes this one step further, and it will even find these renames if you've added a new file with the same name. So if you rename foo to bar and create a new foo that is sufficiently dissimilar to the original foo, then Git will sort of eject it from the name comparisons. Git will sort of eject it from the comparisons about what it thinks of as occupying foo, and bar will be eligible to take that slot.
Wow, I never knew it was that smart. Yeah. I just thought it would always reject it and go, oh, well, that's foo again, you know?
Isn't that crazy? I think that's true. I think there are some limits about when this starts kicking in and the like, and it gets, again, really computationally expensive on a large tree. But Git does some crazy rename heuristics.
It's probably worth mentioning to the listeners, and I know you're fairly modest, you don't like talking about this sort of stuff, but you wrote when people press the merge button on their pull requests in every source hosting provider on the internet, you wrote the logic that runs for that merge functionality. So the fact that you're going, I think that's how it works, makes me both happy that a mere mortal like me also struggles to understand this stuff, but also slightly scared.
The rename stuff is really the terrifying stuff, as far as I'm concerned. There are just all these little subtle wrinkles there.
And like you said as well, it depends on the size of the, like there's times where it switches off, like depends on the size of the file, the number of files in a directory, all that sort of stuff. There's limits.
Yeah, if you had deleted like 3,000 files or 10,000 files or whatever, and then added them back, so 10,000 more files, Git is just going to punt on that. It's going to look at that and decide that it's not worth trying to figure out if a rename occurred there or not.
And this is one of the amazing things about Git, that when you came like we did from building other source control tools, like Git makes a ton of guesses and backs out of things sometimes. And it's just amazing that it works as well as it does, but it works as well as it does because it makes all these guesses, you know?
That's right.
Because we used to, when we had TFEC branch structures and you were doing a merge, and it was really super clever. It would track renames, it would track deletes and things. But then you would find somebody would do a rename and then create a new file that was basically the same as that old file called foo. And they'd get really annoyed because it wasn't merging foo to foo, you know, because they'd kind of forgotten they'd done a rename back in the day. Or they would take an entire branch, delete it, and then go, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to delete it, add the contents of it back in again as a new commit. And then they'd try and merge, you know, and then go work on that branch for months and months, and then try and merge it back together. And the merge would go, it would treat it like a baseless merge because all those files had been deleted, and then all those files have magically appeared again. Therefore, you did that deliberately. So these now files, which are identical, we're going to treat them all as if it never had any common ancestry. You know,
that's exactly right. When I saw Git, I was like, this is crazy. You need to record what actually happened, like TFVC does. And it turns out that most of the people think more like Git works than like TFVC works. So TFVC really tracks what actually happened, but most people don't interact with their version control system the way TFVC expects them to. Most people just work.
Isn't it?
It is.
It's funny. It's one of those examples where technically correct isn't the best form of correct.
Worse is better.
So, you know, Ed, we were going to talk about branching patterns, but it feels like we should save that for the next show. Now we've kind of covered, you know, how branching works in Git.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got an episode here. Thank you for letting me wax poetic on branching.
This is good. I'm wondering if there's anything, is there anything else we should touch on that we could kind of cover off now in terms of, so we've done what basis merge, we've done fast forward merge. I'm trying to think if there's any other types of, you know, the things you see in Git that are really confusing. I guess like a rebase and a squash. Like, is it worth explaining those while we're here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, squash is super easy, at least. Once you're familiar with the Git graph, squash is really easy. Basically, squash does the merge. It computes the merge. And then instead of actually recording in history that a merge occurred, it just drops a new commit in, like with one parent.
So, and there's teams that like to work that way, isn't there? Because they have all the changes that they've made locally, and they commit. But then when they merge into their team's repository, they don't like to show all that interim work in. They just like to squash that into the
that's
history.
That's right.
I'm
really sympathetic to that, because you see a single commit that is a logical change, and it looks a lot like centralized version control does. Mm. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but a lot of people object. You know, some people really like pristine commits showing their entire thought process. This gets into like tabs versus spaces or VI versus Emacs.
So when I'm doing commits when I'm doing commits on my local projects, I'm just commit, push. You know what I mean? I'm messy, a bit like my desk is right now. But when I do, if I'm doing a commit into an open source project, then I tend to shape my commits a lot more. And usually I'll do one commit per pull request. But if I want to show my working a bit more, then I might break that down into two or three steps, but that's the exception. You know, I try and do one commit per PR. I don't know, you're a maintainer. What would you rather see?
I'm not as, I'm happy either way. I just want a reasonable chunk of work. Yeah. I don't want to see unrelated changes in the same commit in a perfect world. Now, I think I'm a little more lax than some of the other open source maintainers out there, and probably more hardline than others, but definitely I work, you know, one of the other maintainers on libgit too is he is a craftsman when it comes to his commits, and I think he sort of expects others to be as well. So a lot of differing opinions on that one.
Okay, so that's squash. And then go on. Can we tackle rebase without getting around a whiteboard?
Yeah, I think so. So rebase is many things as far as the way it operates goes, right? So there's rebase-i, which is rebase interactive. Mm-hmm. And that's really not rebase as much as it is the scripted way to change your repository. So let's ignore rebase interactive for now. If you run git rebase on a branch instead of running merge, what it actually does is it will still find that common ancestor, and it will walk basically the graph and find out what you've changed on the branch that you're on. And, you know, so the new commits that you've added since that common ancestor. Mm-hmm. And what it'll do is it will just walk from the common ancestor, cherry picking those commits onto the other branch. So, or so it, you know, you can actually think of this as running, as switching to that other branch and running git cherry pick on each of those, on each of those commits, which is almost exactly what the git rebase command does. So
how I basically think about it is it's taking where you were and it's kind of replaying the changes you made on top of the latest and then trying to make it so it's kind of like faking the history, but it's replaying the steps you made on top of where you want to go to rather than where you were.
That's exactly right.
Is that how it behaves?
That's okay. Yeah. And I think,
but how it's actually working under the hood is doing cherry picking.
Yeah. Or creating a, so funny, git rebase can work in two different ways. It could either cherry pick or it could create a patch file. So it'll run git diff, create a patch file, and then run git am to apply that patch file. It depends on how you use it.
I think the problem I've got now is I think I'm going to want you to explain cherry pick to me, and then I don't know if that's going to work. Is it possible to explain cherry picking?
Absolutely.
Okay, go on. The way I thought, this is like idiot's guide cherry picking from a user. I thought all it was doing is just kind of you've got a commit on one branch and a commit, and then you want to say, hey, the change that happened in this commit, i.e. what was different between this commit point and the commit before, I want you to take that difference and apply it to a different branch over here is kind of what I think that's. Okay, go on.
Right, that's exactly right.
Okay.
The way it actually does that under the hood is actually using a three-way merge algorithm.
Huh.
So it's kind of interesting. It turns out that if you just sort of rearrange your inputs, you can isolate the changes that happened in one commit and then replay them somewhere else, right? Because the idea of a merge is to, you know, replay two sets of changes. If you want to cherry pick a change, you care only about the changes that were made in a single commit. What you want to do is you want to look at the diff between that commit and its parent, right? So that isolates the changes that were made in that commit. So you can set up a three-way merge with the parent as the common ancestor and the...
The parent is the common ancestor.
The parent as the common ancestor.
Oh.
And the... And okay, the commit that you're trying to cherry pick as one of the branches, right? So what that'll do is that'll be a diff between the cherry picked commit and its parent. So that'll bring in only the changes that were made in that commit. And then you set up the target branch, so like master, as the other side of the three-way merge. Mm-hmm. So that will bring in all of the changes from master, right? It'll keep those changes and bring in the new changes that were introduced in that commit that you're cherry picking.
So when you're finding the parent, are you having to identify the common parent between master and the commit you want to cherry pick? Or are you picking parent as the direct parent of the commit that you're cherry picking?
It's the direct parent of the commit that you're cherry picking.
Wow.
Right. And so if you run git cherry pick on a merge, which has two parents, it will tell you that you need to tell it which parent you want.
No, I've never done that, which is why I've never seen that warning, which I've otherwise I would just go, I'm scared.
Yeah. Why would you cherry pick a merge?
Yeah, try not to.
So Git actually gets a lot of mileage out of the three-way merge algorithm.
Wow.
Revert is also a merge just with different inputs. Because again, it's just isolating changes in one branch and reapplying them somewhere else.
Of course it is. Yeah. Yeah, I never really thought about it like that. But so it's not actually rolling back. That's what reset does, rolls back pointers.
Right.
Revert is creating a new commit with a change taken out.
Crazy, isn't it?
Huh. That makes more sense to me now. Because I think as well, when you're trying to do what is the equivalent of a reset in Git, as a new user, you would assume that revert was the right command, which is creating a new commit point. Rather than rolling back history, you're creating a new bit of history, you know?
Yeah, it's not got the best name, revert, but it is it is a great, you know, piece of functionality.
Oh no, for sure, definitely. And once you've pushed, and that's an interesting thing, once you've pushed a change to your team's, to your shared repository, then you revert is probably the thing you want to be doing rather than resetting, because if you reset, people can all be in horrible states, you know, and then push.
That's right. I mean, they might merge that change that you've tried to get rid of back. They may have all sorts of pain trying to work on it at all.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, no, this is good. So now I think we've done the fundamentals of branching and merging Git. I think next show we should do one all about how you actually put all this together and some of the best practices, because we see a lot of funky stuff happening. And but we also see some really we see some good stuff as well, and we've both worked in teams that work different ways. So yeah, how about we do that for the next show?
I think that sounds great.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much for the show, Ed. I really enjoyed that one. I'm not sure if everybody else followed along. If you did follow along as far as this, then you should drop us an email and let us know. Where should they send that to?
Yeah, Twitter is the best. We're at All Things Git, or on Facebook, we're at All Things Git, or info@allthingsgit.com if you prefer the old school email.
And, thanks everybody for sending stuff in. It's actually quite exciting / scary that people are listening this far into shows and sending us feedback. So please keep it along. It's really, really cool to hear from you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. And thank you all for listening to another episode of All Things Git.